Our second reading this morning is from the prophet Jeremiah in the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Listen again for the word of God. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel was making of clay, was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, and it seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I might declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning of which I've spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring upon it. And at another moment, I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and doings." Here ends the reading. May God bless it to our understanding. And will you pray with me, please? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Let your word be rightly preached and truly heard this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I have fond memories of growing up in a suburban neighborhood that was plunked down in the middle of a rural county in upstate New York. And particularly wonderful memories of all the games that we would play together of a summer evening. Going back to school maybe not have been great news for us because we loved to be outdoors. And our parents would let us stay out till dusk and sometimes a little bit later. Some of our games included freeze tag. After dark, of course, it had to be hide-and-seek. But by far, the most popular and frequently played game was kickball. Now, this was a neighborhood of modest houses, and the yards weren't grand. We all had yards. So pretty much the most desirable place to play kickball was in the little suburban side streets that we lived on. Pretty much only our parents drove the cars up and down those streets. And getting up a good game of kickball in the street wasn't that difficult, but there were some special considerations that we had to observe. Obviously, if a car came up a street and someone's in the middle of kicking the ball, well, that was going to be a do-over. And there were other occasions for do-overs as well. If the fly ball landed behind somebody's shrubs and it took forever to get it out of there, do-over. If the ball landed underneath somebody's car in a driveway, again, do-over. And of course, and this went without saying, any contact between the ball or one of the players with the unfortunate dog do, because we didn't have leash laws back in the day, that was a definite do-over. That could be a whole timeout. You might say that God is offering a do-over to Jeremiah and the nation of Israel in our Old Testament lesson for today. The story takes place soon after the kingdom of Judah falls into the hands of the Babylonians, and just before the Israelites are exiled to Babylon. You might say that Israel's relationship with God was in need of an extreme makeover. So God sends Jeremiah down to the potter's shed, where the potter is working at the wheel, and the vessel that the potter was making was spoiled, and the potter smished it down and started over, reworked the clay into another vessel. Jeremiah observes that the potter completely controls the clay, reshaping it and working with it until the potter has it exactly the way he wants it. And God says, can I not do just as the potter has done? Behold, like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Well, this first theme of our passage is one of the most powerful affirmations of our faith. And it's quite simply that God is our creator. God forms us like a potter at the wheel. But thank God we are not created once and for all, for we're still being created and even recreated by God each and every day. We have been created by God in God's image, and God sees in us the best person that we can ever possibly be. But we're not to take God's gracious, forgiving manner for granted. Rather, each of us is to live a life that shows not our way, but the way of our Lord. As Presbyterians, this affirmation has been the starting point of our faith. The cry of the Protestant Reformation was, Reforma, semper reformanda, which in Latin means reformed and always being reformed. The lumps and the hard places in us that make us hard to form and cause us to become spoiled vessels can be softened and reworked and reshaped by the potter. The allegory of the potter and the clay is helpful, for it reminds us that God, and not we ourselves, has created us, and it assures us that God is willing to continue to make us into the best possible people whom we can be. And yet, the allegory, like all analogies, can be taken a bit too far, for we aren't mere lumps of clay. God values us far more than mud. And God doesn't simply manipulate our lives and control our every move. Instead, God invites us to participate in this creative work, to use our creativity and our talents that have been given to us to help with this process. What we become depends in part upon whether or not we accept God's offer to return the love with which God has so carefully and wonderfully created us. We can serve God with our freedom, or we can use our freedom to make our own plans, to try and create our own selves. Through the prophet Jeremiah, God offers Israel her true glory once again, the opportunity to love her maker as he has loved her in fashioning her for his purpose. The potter is willing to forgive her all of her past hardness, all of her misshapen abuses of his purposes, all of her opposition to his plans for her. Time and again, the potter has found the clay opposing him and has started over with it. Yet one more time, God is willing to cancel the past, begin anew, to make Israel the best she can possibly be. But Israel replies, No, that's in vain. We will follow our own plans, and we will, everyone, act according to the stubbornness of our own hearts. And so the spoiled, misshapen vessel, unfortunately, will need to be broken and crushed. Israel's peril is the same one that we face. Sin is the misuse of the freedom which God has given us. Our sinfulness is our refusal to return God's love, our insistence upon choosing our way and not God's way. All our sins, large and small, ultimately stem from loving ourselves more than God and a refusal to be shaped and fashioned by our Creator. Yet, while our sin places us in the same peril, we are faced with the potter's same invitation. God calls us to love God as God has loved us. God is willing to forgive our past, our stubbornness in following our own ways. God is eager to begin anew and to make us the best we can possibly be. Like the potter, God always holds in his hand the promise and an invitation to rework us, to reshape us, to make us into the vessels which God intends. One of the early church fathers, Irenaeus, expressed beautifully way back in the second century this very same promise. Listen to what he tells us. If then thou art the work of God, await the hand of thy maker, who fashions everything in due course. Keep thy heart soft and pliable for him. Retain the form in which the artist fashioned thee, having moisture in thyself, lest becoming hard thou shouldst lose the marks of his fingers. But shouldst thou prove hardened and reject his artistic work, and prove ingrate for being made human, with thy ingratitude thou hast also lost his art, and with it thy life. God invites us again and again to participate in God's creative work, and it's up to us to keep our hearts pliable, lest we lose the marks of the potter's fingers. And when we do this, Jeremiah's prophecy to Israel becomes good news for us. Jeremiah prophesies, O child that I've created, can I not do with you as this potter has done? Behold, like the clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. That is the absolutely great thing about clay. If we don't like what's been made, God can always rework it and make it better. And in like fashion, that's the great thing about our relationship with our heavenly parent. Even when we are the ones in need of an extreme makeover, there's always the possibility for reconciliation and for new life. So why is God so gracious to us? Just like the potter of old, God is in the business of turning out serviceable vessels. You know, if you wanted vessels for your kitchen or your table, you didn't go to Macy's or Kohl's or Lutarget. You went to the potter shed, and you gave the order to the potter. And when the potter was done, you expected these vessels that you received to be of lasting use. God wants to get God's hands on us and shape us and mold us and change us and make us a vessel of Jesus Christ. As a church, we have three primary roles in this. One is to invite persons to become followers of Christ. The second is to form people into disciples of Christ. And the third is to send these molded people back into the world in Christ's name to transform the world. In those, three little words, invite, form, and send, all that we are and do can be embraced. You know, most of us became a part of the company of Jesus Christ because someone else who was already in that company invited us in, whether it was our parents bringing us to church as babes or young children, or a friend who invited us to worship when we were grown. We all came here through some kind of invitation and some kind of help. And we need to ask ourselves, do we live lives that make the gospel attractive? Lives that make the gospel inviting to others? If not, perhaps it's time for a spin on the potter's wheel. Our second role is to form disciples of Christ. It's our task as the church to offer people opportunities to let God get God's hands on them, to form them like clay on the potter's wheel. And we do this in a variety of ways. We do it week by week in worship, in prayer, in Bible study, in service. Of course, all these happen at First Pres Cranberry on a regular basis. But we need to ask ourselves, how sensitive are we to the needs of those just setting out on the path of discipleship? It may be that our congregational life needs a spin up there on the wheel too. And finally, the role of the church is to send ambassadors of Christ into the world to transform the world. It's not enough just to call people in, to invite people to say, come here and get your life shaped, know Christ better, be deeper in your prayer life and spirituality, and then fail to send them back into the world. It would be a disaster to do so. The role of the church is to send people as ambassadors of Christ into the world. Then the wheel comes full circle, for those whom we've invited and helped to shape are empowered to offer invitations of their own. We need to ask ourselves, who are we here for? Is it just us and Jesus? Or do we truly believe that God has intentions to transform the whole world and that we have a role in that? When God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah, God spoke to the house of Israel, as well as the nations and the kingdoms of the ancient world. Through this witness, we know that God is also molding our community and our world. God's grace is a way of setting us free so that we can become useful to God and live according to God's ways of loving justice. God is full of grace so that we might become full of God's love, turning our lives outward on others rather than inward on ourselves. These are difficult times for our nation and for our world, and given the current level of disagreement among people of faith, it may be hard to believe that God is involved in the future of our country. And yet, that is the biblical witness. We need to ask ourselves, how can we be reshaped for better service? You know, sometimes people ask me, Reverend Marie, why do you do this interim stuff anyway? I mean, wouldn't it be better to settle down? Sometimes I think, well, the answer might be yes. But then, when I reflect on the ways in which God has worked through me and through the tough times in my life to form me into the person that I am, I have to believe that this interim time is about God getting churches up on the wheel so as to reshape the nations and the people of the world. And it's a great privilege to be a part of that process, one church at a time. As we begin to consider how God may be reshaping us here in Cranberry, we need to remember that, as any potter will tell you, the appearance that the potter easily works the clay into the shape he or she desires is misleading. It's hard work and it takes strong hands, and it's critical to keep the pot in the center of the wheel in order for the vessel to be true and not slanting this way or the other. Keeping centered on God will be essential to molding a future for this church in which First Pres Cranberry can serve as a vessel for Christ in this community and even beyond. Submitting to the work of the potter is not easy, and yet I know that God's strong hands will be there to guide us and to shape us. We can expect times when being our own potter seems so much better. But letting God shape us means being humble, recognizing that we do not know God's mind, and being open to the presence of God's Spirit. May we aim to stay in the center of our master potter's table, acknowledging that sometimes we resist God's firm, strong hands. May we open ourselves to God through these life-changing days. May we let the master potter shape us and reshape us into the new creation that we are meant to be. To God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be glory now and forever. May all God's people say, Amen.